When President Obama signed the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act in December of 2010, it represented the most significant change to the National School Lunch Program in over 30 years. In addition to an increase in funding, it also gives the USDA the authority to, over time, set nutritional standards for all foods regularly sold in schools. However, according to Adam Simmons, Director of Food Services for Fayetteville Public Schools, therein lies a problem. He says the increase in funding gives school districts 6 cents per lunch served, but the changes in food and health standards require a 30-cent increase in cost per lunch. As the Fayetteville School Lunch Program is funded solely by the federal government and parents, the district gives no money, and it is up to Adam to make up the 24-cent difference.
I think that the theory out there is that we have all the money in the world, and why don't we spend more money on making it better, more whole food oriented. So there's not a lot of money out there. You know, after benefits, after salary benefits, everything, we have anywhere from $1.30 to $1 to spend on lunch. And it's a really tough task to spend on three different entrees for elementary schools, up to 6 different entrees for the other schools. It's a fine line to walk on being profitable, not profitable either, being self-sufficient and not self-sufficient. 6 cents sounds like a lot, or actually the way President Obama said, $10 billion sounds like a lot. Not a lot of money. You know, 6 cents isn't a lot of money, especially if you have to add an additional 30 cents worth of cost on.
That portion left unfunded, according to food scientist and professor at the U of A, Dr. John Marcy, also sounds like a lot of money.
The government projected, you know, over $6 billion of unfunded extra cost to the school systems that they weren't covering in the first 5 years. Because what it requires is a whole lot more produce, fresh.
Currently, Fayetteville Public Schools offer, in addition to a salad bar, 2 vegetable options each day, 1 canned, 1 fresh. Adam, Director of Food Services, says the acquisition of fresh produce isn't easy.
The problem is that you have farmers that need to sell more that are used to selling at a farmer's market price, and me needing to buy a ton but only able to spend a certain amount of money. And we haven't been able to meet in the middle to where it's a really large scale win-win for both people. We've got to get together on price. We have to get together on delivery method. There's just a few things we have to work out before it really goes big. And we're working on that now. So hopefully it'll work. I know it'll work. So the farmers that want, because farmers are getting small, the land they're farming is, they're farming less and less because of demand. And I have a huge demand, but I can't pay $3 a pound for tomatoes. I can pay about $1.25 a pound for tomatoes. Well, they have to realize that the tomatoes they're growing for $3 a pound maybe not be the tomatoes they need to grow for me. And I'm willing to say, I'll buy everything you have at this price point.
Another problem is that with USDA money, he isn't able to prepay for produce. And that's a risk that farmers are nervous to take. What's making Adam nervous? One of the USDA requirements that reduces the amount of sodium served to students.
Really watching as we're watching this, the sodium reduction, they're taking the sodium down to 1,300 milligrams. Normally we would run in the 2,000 range. 700 milligrams of sodium is a lot of sodium to take out of food just like that, because it affects the flavor tremendously. And say, go back to a chicken nugget, and if my chicken nugget has 700 milligrams less sodium than McDonald's chicken nugget, they're not going to eat my chicken nugget.
Manufacturers are currently working on ways to lose the sodium while keeping the flavor. Dr. Marcy describes some of the substitutes.
You can substitute potassium chloride to get some of the functionalities. Like, for instance, in a meat product, it's the chloride ion that really gives you the function. The sodium ion gives you the flavor. And so you can get the same functionality with potassium chloride, but potassium has a bitter flavor. And then you have to come back and add what's called bitter maskers that let you get approaching that level that is not just totally disagreeable. So there's a lot of work to it. And then there's sea salts that are lower in sodium, but that just means that they're higher in something else, and it may not be defined. You know, manganese, potassium, any number of other non-defined chemicals in sea salt that take in the place of the sodium chloride.
These sodium substitutes seem to cause reactions in children's sensitive stomachs. Dr. Marcy says that we are facing a dilemma in trying to control this dietary problem, that our bodies are not meant for a high sodium diet. He says that what he calls the caveman diet, one of fresh meats and fresh produce, low in sodium, high in potassium, is the perfect diet. He also says that exercise is a method to control sodium.
You know, if you exercise a lot, if you're, you know, there's a lot of biathletes or triathletes or marathon runners, they have trouble getting enough sodium because of the expression in the sweat that, you know, you can exercise out any excess sodium just by running. If you look at the sports nutritionists, they're trying to make sure they get enough sodium in the diet to cover the exercise level. So, you know, it's not just a dietary issue.
This lack of exercise issue relates to more questions posed. Why now? Why is this so-called food revolution happening now? Why are these the first significant changes to the federal school lunch program in nearly 30 years?
Well, when you were a kid, you probably got outside to play, and you weren't glued to a computer screen. And, you know, there is an obesity issue. You know, there's been a change in lifestyle. You know, and it's pretty dramatic on the kids. You know, their lack of play, their lack of, you know, it's not all of them. There's a lot of, you know, very fit kids out there playing all the time, you know, doing a lot of activities, but there's a higher proportion not, you know, that are, you know, hooked on the Xboxes and the Wii's, and et cetera. And I guess Wii's even better because it actually gets you up and makes you move, you know, which is a good thing.
Another problem is a new reliance on processed food. Adam, the director of food services at Fayetteville Public Schools, says that 99% of the sodium consumed comes not from a salt shaker, but from foods eaten, like chips and chicken nuggets. Steering away from processed foods is something that Adam has been working on since he came to Fayetteville Schools 3 years ago, a change that not only reduces sodium, but also reduces costs. Fayetteville Schools began making their own burritos, costing them just 17 cents each, which is half the price of a frozen burrito.
We just buy the big 12-inch tortilla shells, commodity beans, commodity meat, commodity cheese, and we're rolling our own. And it's going over really well. And we're doing breakfast burritos now. We're doing breakfast quesadillas now that we're rolling. And the staff hated it at first, but they got it. They understood. They're taking pride in what they're doing, and they see the kids happier with end product, and that's the important thing. And so they're on board. They're good for change now.
These changes that Adam has implemented involve making a variety of things in-house. Upon a tour of one Fayetteville school cafeteria, evidence of this can be seen, with mixing bowls replacing cardboard boxes. Cafeteria workers are now making their own version of a Hot Pocket, cookies, even pizza dough, all made with whole grain flours.
And, you know, we're nowhere near where I want to be. You know, I would love one day to have no processed food, but that's going to take a lot of time. So we try to find 5 or 6 items each year to either change, drop, or manipulate into a more or less processed item. We're going through each item and trying to find an alternative that meets the quality that we demand, but the nutrition that the USDA demands. And we found that we've really changed 5 or 6 products already out of about 300. Easy changes without adding money, without dropping quality, but adding more nutrition.
Adam has also made changes to the beverages that are available to students. After watching kids pour chocolate milk over their already sugary cereal, he eliminated its service at breakfast, a change that he has been criticized for. As he believes that hydration is important, he has made bottled water available to students. In the junior highs, the packaging of juice drinks and water has been updated to make them look more enticing, to look like energy drinks and vitamin waters. Adam grew up in the restaurant business and had a career as a chef before coming to work in the public school system, a background that allows him to approach school foods differently. He was first employed at Farmington Public Schools, a much smaller district than Fayetteville. He says that one of the biggest differences for him is that he can't get out into the schools like he used to.
I used to visit every school every day in Farmington. If I'm lucky to visit two or three schools each day when I'm in Fayetteville, I just have a lot more administrative duties and a lot more pulls on my time than I did there.
School visits are of importance to Adam, so he can see what's going on, to talk to his managers, and with the students.
I always like to be around the kids, so I always try to hit it around lunchtime. The room, and I always see what they're eating and what they're not, and I always like to stand by the trash cans and see what they're throwing away. That, you know, we're not judged on what is consumed, we're judged on what we serve by the USDA. But if we don't, we serve really good stuff, let's say, but the kids aren't eating it. That to me is a failure, you know. So I've got to see what they're throwing away and adjust what we do to make them not throw it away the next time or get rid of it altogether. So we're constantly tweaking our menu.
He also goes into the classroom to give lessons on nutrition, for one of his biggest goals is to change habit through exposure.
Helps me with my theory of you've got to expose these kids to things just so they understand later on down the line, and not necessarily just flavors, but what to do and what not to do nutritionally, because it's a habit. You just get in habits. I mean, we got rid of the chocolate milk because they were pouring chocolate milk on cereal, and that's a habit a kindergarten gets. What's his habit going to be when he's 20 and in college and not having any money? And so I want to break that habit.
In another effort to influence habit, changes have been made at the high school level. Items in vending machines have been replaced with diet sodas and low-fat or baked items. Students are also restricted to when they can access these snacks. The machines are locked until 30 minutes after lunch, steering the students to the cafeteria for a healthier meal.